Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text that we'll consider this morning is a portion of our gospel reading for today. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 5 to 7, as follows. The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Thus far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, because of whose death, death is now swallowed up in victory, dear fellow redeemed. It was Philip Stanhope, the Earl of Chesterfield, who once aptly remarked, "Advice is seldom welcome, and those who need it the most always like it the least." And that's true, isn't it? We all like to hear flattery and praise, but few of us like to listen to advice, particularly if that advice points up flaws or failures in our own character. The worse the failing, the less happy we are to hear advice about it. It's human nature and is true of all of us. Good advice, advice you really need because of some shortcoming in you, is very difficult to listen to and even harder to put into practice. But on this glorious Easter morning, our text presents us with an example that is an exception to the rule. In this passage, we're being given some advice. It's advice in which we can have the utmost confidence because it's brought to us by an angel of God himself. And unlike most good advice, his words are not only easy to hear, they form the foundation of our Christian joy and our Christian life. Lend an ear then, and listen to some good advice from the Easter angel. It falls into three categories. Don't be afraid. Look at the evidence. Go forth with the message. It was early on Sunday morning. The Sabbath day was past, and for the women who, with heavy hearts, were journeying to the tomb, what a sad Sabbath that had been. Their master had been captured and cruelly put to death. And now they were preparing to carry out the only kindness left for them to do, to embalm their master's body with fragrant spices. By the way, do you ever notice how men don't come out looking very good in the Passion accounts? It's true. Peter, James, and John, you remember, couldn't stay awake and pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. All the disciples forsook him and fled. At the cross, only John was there to see the end. But all of the women were there. Mary, his mother, of course, but Mary Magdalene as well, and Mary, the mother of James, Johanna, Salome, they were all there. They saw the Lord die. They marked the place where he was laid. And now with the sun just rising, they were on their way with heavy hearts to fulfill these last good offices for their master. A greater picture of sorrow and gloom could hardly be imagined. And yet, as is so often true in the Christian life, much was unseen. The Lord was working. Great changes were afoot. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Just as an earthquake tolled the bell for Jesus' death, so now another earthquake rings the peal to mark his joyful resurrection. An angel, a messenger from God, came down. The squad of soldiers who were set to guard the tomb at the very sight of the angel trembled and became like dead men. Then the angel rolled back the great stone from the door of the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to demonstrate to the world that he was already out. And the angel said something to the women, and what he had to say was significant, not just for them, but also for all Christians, and perhaps especially for us some 2,000 years later. Today we're presented with some very good advice from the Easter angel. And the first part of his advice will sound familiar to you because every time an angel appears to someone in the Bible, these are the first words out of his mouth. Don't be afraid. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said." Don't be afraid. Why do they always say that? Why do they always have to say that? It's because whenever sinful human beings are suddenly confronted with the divine, their first reaction is always the same: abject terror. And for good reason. God is pure righteousness, a burning and all-consuming holiness. Nothing unholy or sinful or unrighteous can stand in the presence of God for a single second. And we sinners, we immediately sense our own deep unholiness and unrighteousness, don't we? We feel all too keenly the filthy thoughts that have passed through our minds and the corrupt and hurting words that have passed over our lips, the dark and shameful deeds that our hands have done. But nevertheless, the angel said to the Marys and says to us, don't be afraid. My friends, you will never get any advice that's easier to hear than that. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Jesus is alive. He was alive then, and he's alive now. I wonder if you understand what that means. It means you're justified. It means that all Jesus' suffering and agony and atoning work on the cross has been accepted by God the Father as complete payment for your sins. The book of Romans says, Jesus our Lord was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Raised to justify us so that you and I can now, through faith in Christ, stand not for a second, but for an eternity in the presence of the Holy God, righteous ourselves, justified by faith in Christ, and holy in the eyes of God. What a wonderful word from the Easter angel. Do not fear. The payment for your sins has been made and accepted. You shall not die eternally. On the contrary, the open tomb, if it means anything, surely means that, like Jesus, you and I too will one day rise to everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Or as the Apostle Peter put it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Fear? There's no room for it anymore in our Christian lives, really, is there? By the way, it's interesting to note that the Greek tense in this passage clearly indicates that the angel is telling the women not merely that they needn't fear now, but really that they needn't be afraid ever again. Martin Luther put it this way, "Do not fear. This is as much as to say, what foolish and simple little people you are, that you should be terrified and fear. For Christ lives and is risen from the dead. Therefore, the proper thing for you to do is be glad and never worry about anything. For that Christ lives, he lives for your good, that you should enjoy him and by him be protected and preserved from all misery. He means to tell us that the resurrection of Christ is to comfort us against the devil, sin, and hell. For if these foes could continue to do damage, it would be impossible for us not to fear. This is the first command, not only to the women, but to all baptized and believing Christians who know and believe that Christ is risen, namely, that they are not to fear." Don't be afraid. It's good advice. But how do we know that the resurrection really happened? How do we know that it isn't just what so many modern skeptics consider it to be, that is, a gathering of myths and legends that grew up among Jesus' followers? And that brings us to the second piece of good advice from the Easter angel. He says the same thing to us as he said to the women at the tomb, look at the evidence. He is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. By the time the angel appeared, the resurrection had already happened, silently, unseen by human witnesses. Come and see for yourself, the angel said. Look at the evidence. Look at the place where Jesus was laid. Look at the stone rolled away. You can even see the grave clothes folded neatly and lying to one side. You'll see everything. There's only one thing you won't see. You won't see the body of Jesus because it's not here. He is risen. The absence of Jesus' body from the tomb was and has always remained the most compelling evidence of all for the resurrection. Think about it for a moment. The enemies of Christ could easily have disproved his resurrection. All they had to do was, any time after Easter Sunday, produce the body of Jesus. But they couldn't do it then, and they can't do it now, because there is no dead body. Jesus is alive. Other evidence abounds in Scripture. Did you know that over 300 passages in the Bible point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? For one thing, it was predicted in the Old Testament, in Psalm 16 and other places. In the New Testament, Jesus frequently predicted his own death and resurrection in the most explicit terms. Then there were the eyewitnesses. The Apostle Paul says, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. And on the other side, how many witnesses claim to have seen the dead body of Jesus after Easter Sunday? Not one. Not a single person among all the enemies of Christ in the Christian church down through the centuries has ever claimed that they saw the body of Jesus after Easter. So you've taken the Easter angel's advice so far. You've seen that the message of the open tomb precludes fear. You've examined the evidence for the resurrection in the Bible and in your own life. But it's not just about your life, is it? The Easter gospel is for everyone. Perhaps the greatest evidence of all is the evidence in the lives of believers down through the centuries and in the lives of people that you know. How many people in your life have you thought, that person will never become a Christian? They'll never hear the gospel and believe it. And then the powerful word works and they do become believers. They come to trust as you do in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. Again, it's not just about your life. The Easter gospel is for everyone, and that means you've got work to do. More advice from the Easter angel: go forth with the message. The angel said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. The angel told them what to do. And if you read between the lines, he really told them what not to do also, didn't he? What they were not to do was keep the resurrection secret. They weren't to go home and sit in silence and ponder the resurrection in solitude. They were to be active, to get the news out. They were to carry the wonderful message to others, first to the disciples and then to all people. The angel said, go forth with the message of the resurrection. And so our risen Lord himself has said to us, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are not to be static. To be a Christian, by definition, implies that we will be active, that we will be about our Father's business, at work for the Lord every day in our lives. No matter what your calling or career is in life, you are first and foremost a missionary, an ambassador for the risen Lord Jesus. So do the good work. Carry to others the good news of an open tomb, of sins atoned for and forgiven, of heaven gained. Your work will not be in vain. As the Apostle Paul says in that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus' resurrection is the center of our lives. In fact, his resurrection is the central fact of all human history. It will remain so till the end of time, and no human opposition can ever change it. Many have tried. The author George Sweeting tells of an anti-Christian rally that was held in communist Russia in the early 1920s, and the Communist Party sent noted leader Nikolai Bukharin to address this massive rally in the city of Kiev. For over an hour, Bukharin harangued them, criticizing the Christian faith and pointing up its alleged errors and contradictions. He finally concluded, convinced that he had once and for all told the crowd all about the folly of Christianity. But then, near the front of the auditorium, an aged Orthodox priest stood up and faced the large crowd. Then, in a clear voice, he said in Russian, "Christos voskresa," Christ is risen. And immediately, the massive crowd with one voice thundered forth the familiar response, "Voistinu voskresa," he is risen indeed. Bukharin's logic could not stand up against the power of the resurrection, nor will the enemies of Christ ever prevail, even in our day. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it, including the word of the angel. For today we have received good advice from the Easter angel. Don't be afraid. Look at the evidence. Go forth with the message. Will we profit by that good advice? If by profit you mean find justification, forgiveness of sin, salvation, and eternal life, then the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We sing with the hymnist, "He is arisen, glorious word. Now reconciled is God my Lord. The gates of heaven are open. My Jesus did triumphant die, and Satan's arrows broken lie, destroyed hell's direst weapon. Oh, hear, what cheer! Christ victorious riseth glorious, life he giveth. He was dead, but see, he liveth." Amen.